executions are on the increase. But in Iraq, the interesting thing is they hang people, and the family of the person who's being hung has the right to come up and kick the box out from under the person who's going to be hung. And so it's come the day for this guy to be hung, and he murdered a young boy like this, like the son. And the mother's going along, and she says, "I can't forgive, I can't forgive." And she got up there to the place, and the guy has a blindfold on, they put a mask on him, they put the noose around his neck, so he really cannot see what's going on. And the mother makes an unusual request. She asks for a box to stand on. And he doesn't know what's going on. He's crying. She's crying. She climbs up on the box, smacks him, which is a shock to him. But what it did, it was her signal to the world, "I forgive him." They took the noose off, they took the hood off, they took the blindfolds off, untied him, and she hugged him. And from then on, like this, they had a relationship. They built a relationship. And like this, he did things for the community in repayment. Martin Luther King said, Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a permanent attitude." It's a permanent attitude. And you can tell the difference between people who have that permanent attitude of forgiveness and the people who just forgive occasionally. Excuse me, I'm blubbering up here. And another example of that took place on October the 2nd, 2006. The day my father was buried. And it happened in Nickel Mine, Pennsylvania, in a little Amish community. A man named Charles Carl Roberts entered a small one-room classroom and killed five young girls and then himself. And it surprised, I mean, I remember when this happened, and it shocked the world that somebody would go into the classroom and kill five young girls. The violence was just, was shocking to everybody. But then what happened is something else shocking happened. Within hours, the Amish community gathered, and they went to Robert's house, who was not Amish, and they wanted to make sure that his wife and children understood that they held nothing against them or their husband, and that they wanted the best for them. A few days later, at Robert's funeral, they all attended. And they set up a financial foundation for the wife and kids so that they could make ends meet during this time of tragedy. In the Amish community, forgiveness is a very vital part of that community, a critical part of that community, and part of what they live by all the time, from day to day. Not just on the occasion when something happens. It was all the time. And so, if we're going to have forgiveness, we have to have honesty, compassion, and self-awareness to be reconciled to somebody who's hurt us. Do we have that? And it's got to be there all the time. Violence in this culture has become a part of our lives. Extremely part. I mean, Vaughn has been shot. He wasn't the victim. He wasn't the target. He was a bystander. But a lot of the killings that take place are innocent bystanders. A child sitting on a bus bench. The person I think from what happened down in Texas just recently. And so violence has become a way of life. And so again, like this, when we see acts of forgiveness, it's surprising. Or it hits us harder, I guess I should say. Because I look at us and it's like, would we forgive? Yeah. Yeah. That's what I love about you guys. I'm dumb. I do things stupid. But you forgive me. No matter what the consequences. Whether it's big or small. Because sometimes it's small things that hurt. What they're doing. And if we want to be a loving people, then we have to be forgiving people in what we're doing. Now, y'all have your bulletins?
Yep.
Richard's going, what bulletin? We have bulletins? Okay, pull out, there's an insert in there, and it says chapter 4, how well do I forgive? We all have it? Number one, when someone wrongs me, I'm most likely to A, stop speaking to the person until he or she apologizes. B, ignore what happened and move on. C, confront the person with my feelings. Okay, we don't need to say those out loud. Just raise your hand. No. Okay. Number two, if someone I love confesses, refuses to apologize to me, I get angry and leave the room, pretend it doesn't matter to me, tell him or her that I am really ready to forgive at any time. Any of those hard for you?
Mine starts at 6.
What's that?
Mine only starts at 6.
That's because when you print these up, it gets in the bottom and the computer goes to the next page. And it's like, I can't get it to not do that. So, and the thing is, I even copy and paste it over there and it still changes it. So anyway, number four. No.
Three.
Number three. When the memory of the wrong way of a wrong done to me comes to mind, I remind the person of the pain he or she has caused. I tell myself I shouldn't remember that kind of a thing. I left seal. Sorry. Number four, when I make a mistake, I am most likely to explain why it wasn't my fault, dwell on my mistake privately and feel bad about it, go to the person I wronged and ask for forgiveness. Number five, or yes, when someone confronts me with something I did wrong, I get defensive and blame someone else, change the subject, confess what I'm doing wrong, and ask for forgiveness. As you look at this brief test, how often do you answer A? If that was your common answer, you are likely to reach in anger, react in anger when someone hurts you. You might need to become more aware of how your anger affects you. If your most common answer was B, you probably try to avoid conflict in a relationship, even if it means allowing a barrier to remain because you and between you and someone else. The goal of this chapter is to understand why confrontation, forgiveness, and release. And answer C is so important in the love relation and authentic love. Did we all score well? I hope so. Now I have to sit this right here because I need it. Thank you. water and got my nose or something. It broke the dam. The truth is, if we look at our lives, we're incredibly moral people, creation. In our lives, we have to go out of our way not to be. Okay? And when something wrong happens, it's like, who did it? Somebody's got to pay for this. That's not right. And we recognize that it's not right in our lives, don't we? And we have that thing inside that says, somebody's got to pay for this. And the transforming power of authentic love does not remove the pain for justice. It explains why. In Exodus 34, 6 and 7, it says, and he passed in front of Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Oh, maintaining love to the thousands and forgiving weakness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of their fathers to the third and fourth generation. Okay? God recognizes when people do things wrong. But he also recognizes when they don't regret, they don't care. They're guilty of this sin. Because when you don't forgive, what does Scripture say? Then you're not forgiven. And so if you get in there and you don't forgive, he says it can go on down through the years. It can be passed on down through the generations. And some people can be guilty of the same sins. And if you look at a lot of the things that are taking place in the world today, nations treating other nations terribly, having just awful things happen to them. And it's been going on for years. Handed down, handed down, handed down. Exodus 34, 6 and 8. Oh, I said that one, sorry. Okay. So we were created to be loved and to love. That's what we were created like. When we were in the Garden of Eden, it was nice. And then we ate the tree, and then we had to take that, and the world changed. And all the things went by. In Psalms 51:1, it says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Our transgressions get blotted out, not because we're great people, but because of God's love and God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness is the model for us and how we're supposed to live. True forgiveness can only come work with justice when love is involved. If you look at that, justice, he went to prison. He went to jail. The guy in Iraq, he was condemned. He was going to be hung. But somebody's love made the difference. She whacked him. And that was payment. And he got to move on. And all of us have the capability of expressing forgiveness through love in our relationships. Like Martin Luther said, it's a continual process. If we develop that attitude of forgiveness and it becomes a part of us, you don't stay angry very long. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to be honest. How many of you have ever seen me really angry? Because it's a part of my life, pretty much. Do I get angry? Yes. I do. And I'll get mad and I'll say some things at home or like that. And then a minute, a few minutes later, God will say, "You mad?" And I'll say, "No." And I say, "Why don't you stay mad?" Because it's a waste of time. And it's a waste of energy. And when you do it enough and you practice it, and you know what? I wasn't always that way. I used to have a really bad temper. And my old brother used to just taunt me to death. And I went up to see him a few weeks back, and my brother has a thing where he shaves and cuts his hair once a year. This year he shaved his head. And I was up there and he says, "I'm not doing that again." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Too many little scars on the back of my head." He used to make me mad, and he could outrun me, but he couldn't outrun a rock, or an arrow, or a car. And I knew that I was in a dangerous place because I would get so mad, I didn't care. So I started going down to the woods behind our house and finding the dead tree and just beating it to more death. Breaking off every limb, smacking everything I could do. Getting rid of my anger. And gradually what I did is I started playing a game, and then on my way down there, I would beat the tree up and all that stuff, so I didn't have to really do this, beat the tree up. There was a gate, we'd flop over the gate. And I got to the gate where I could just get from here across the street to the gate. And then I got closer and closer until I didn't get angry anymore. Well, not very often. Still, when I get angry, it's very explosive. It's very explosive. Colossians 3, 12, 13 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." It's your list. Clothe yourself in those things. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Remember, it says, "as the Lord forgave you." How does the Lord forgive us? We confess our sins. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for forgiveness. And most children love their parents. And they believe that parents should love their children, and the children should love their parents. And it takes work to destroy that and what they're doing. But we have the choice to forgive.
Amen.
Now, how many of you recognize the name Victoria Rivolo? No? It's another one that I remember. Some people laughingly call him Turkey Face. She was driving home one night from seeing her niece's dance review, two blocks from home. Car going the other way. Kid throws a 20-pound turkey out of the back window in her car, aiming for a fender, but it hits the windshield and it hits her face and breaks every bone in her face. When she's taken to the hospital, it takes 10 hours of reconstruction surgery to begin putting her face back together. It involves those titanium plates, mesh, all kinds of things in her face. She's in a medically induced coma for 2 weeks so that she doesn't move, to give it time to heal. Okay. A 20-pound turkey. She gets out of the hospital and he's going to go to court. And she said, "Despite all the fear and pain, I have learned from this horrific experience, and I have much to be thankful for." She looks at what's taking place and she says, I have a lot to be thankful for. Would we say that? Hopefully. There's no room for vengeance in my life. And I do not believe a long, hard prison term would benefit you, me, or society. That's what she told the kid. He's facing a possibility of 25 years in prison. But what happened? She asked the judge for leniency. She asked the judge for leniency. Did he get 25 years? No. He got 6 months in prison and a 5-year probation because of her. She asked the judge to let him off. She said, I truly hope that by demonstrating compassion and leniency, I have encouraged you to seek an honorable life. Because he was kind of rebellious. They were in a stolen, they had a stolen car, stolen credit card they got to Turkey with. They did this. I just want you to make your life the best it can be. If my generosity will help you mature into a responsible, honest man whose generosity is a source of pride to your loved ones and your community, then I will be truly grateful. And my suffering will not have been in vain. She later told the media, I don't want Ryan sitting rotting in a jail. Could we do that? I don't want him rotting in a jail. What good would vengeance do? God gave me a second chance. I'm just passing it on. Wasn't there a movie called Pay It Forward? Good movie. Good movie. She told him, I want you to be somebody. And that was her legacy. She's an example of forgiveness in a vindictive and vengeful world. She was. She passed away on November 13, 2004, at age 59. Love has the potential to give each other. One thing about love, it gives the potential for people to love and to love back. The reality is, but if we all got what we deserved, this is self-evaluation time, not to get depressed. But if you got in life everything you deserved, many more people would be in jail and prison. And we'd end up in hell, all of us. Because we all do things, and God is perfect. God doesn't tolerate sin. Except through Jesus Christ, we find forgiveness and love. We may go through crap right now, but God's forgiveness is putting us in the right place. Amen. And getting there. It means forgiveness for those who offend us. It does not mean ignoring wrongs done to us. Doesn't mean ignoring them. They're there. Forgiveness is a choice to love rather than demand justice. And that's what she did. She chose to love. Even greater than our desire to get even is our desire to reconcile. That lady in Iraq, she was walking to the execution saying, I cannot forgive him. I cannot forgive him. Get me a box. I forgive you. When did the change come? Well, with Victoria, it's when she respected life. Isn't that a different thought? Respecting the person who did it. He's a child of God. She's a child of God. And what's there? Matthew 5, 23, 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, but then remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and reconcile, be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. If you've got something against somebody, do you really think you can go to God and ask for a blessing?
We can.
Does it mean that the thing is gone?
No.
Ideally, the other person is taking the responsibility in this part also, but it doesn't always happen that way. And when we forgive, it starts to open the door for renewing the trust that you had before and what you're doing. And you cannot really forgive unless the other person participates. So what forgiveness is not? Forgiveness is not, does not come easy. It doesn't come easy. Because some of the things that have happened to us, they hurt. They hurt, and there's no sense around it. I mean, if I cut my finger, it's going to hurt. And I'm going to take care of it, because if I don't, I'll get an infection, I'll bleed to death, all kinds of things. So it does not come easily. You know, it's not easy to do. Forgiveness does not remove all the consequences of the wrongdoing. Her face was still beat up. She went through many, 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 did I say many? Surgeries to continue the reconstruction process of her face. But she didn't let it get her down. I worked for a collection agent. She couldn't go back to work for 9 months. But since then, she had gone around as a motivational speaker, talking to people about forgiveness and what it means and how valuable it is. But it's not without its consequences. And again, it's broader. You've got to be participant in this. We have to be participants in it. And I used to look at this scripture and go, what? Okay? Matthew 18, 23 and 25, 35. Therefore, the king of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Okay? There will come a day when we have to settle accounts. God's not ignoring everything. God's compassionate and forgiving. But scripture tells us that that day will come when we have to give an account of our life. We're not going to help. No. Anyway, as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents. Now that's equivalent of like $2 billion. A lot of money. More than he could probably ever pay back. Was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. That was a common punishment back then. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. Talking about what God's like. Took pity on him. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 10 bucks. 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Then when the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told them, their master, everything that had happened. You notice it was the other servants who saw it, and they were distressed. Now, what is that telling us? The master was very gracious, and these servants are recognizing that he's being abused. Okay? Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailer to be tormented until he should pay back what he owed. This is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart." There's another scripture that just came to mind. It's one where scripture tells us that in the end we're going to go through a refining fire. And how we come out the other side determines on what we build our lives on. If we build our lives on straw and hay and wood, or if we build it on rock and diamonds and valuable things that last, which ones will withstand the fire? The rocks and the heart and the permanent things, the things that are lasting. But the people who build their lives on material things, they'll come through okay. But it says that they'll come through smelling like somebody who's come through a fire. How do you want to smell when you get through? And forgiveness does not immediately restore trust. When I lived in Washington, D.C. with Patrick, he cheated, he stole, tried to kill me once, but I knocked a knife out of his hand. I just pulled him in close and let him beat on me until he got tired of it. I moved back out here. He had taken my debit card, stole some checks, put them in through the card. Secret Service was looking for me. I went down and said, "I understand you're looking for me." And they said, "Really?" So they called back east and found out, "Yep, we're looking for you." Now, if that's where it had ended, I'd have been in prison. Because one of them was the tax refund check, the government check. I said, "Yep." So I explained what went on, and I said, "Now, I had all this stuff and good stuff." And I said, "Here's a picture of us together." And he goes, "You don't need to tell me about that." I said, "It's okay." But I forgave him. But I was very trusting. And a year later, I went out and spent a week with him in Washington, D.C. again, because he went back there. Then he came back out here, and I let him stay with me. When he left, he robbed me again. Can you say sucker? But I could see potential in him. He had great potential, but he couldn't see it. All he could see was conniving. But forgiveness opens the door for the possibility of restoration of trust. But you have to know where the line is. It doesn't mean you forgive, don't forgive. I forgive him because it was my stupidity that put me in the situation. I have to confess my part in it. It was my stupidity who welcomed me back, who opened the door, who set the stage. Okay? But forgiveness doesn't remove the memory of the offense from our minds. But it lessens it. It makes it easier. but we don't need an open wound. But we also need to recognize that there are different, there's a difference between when you need forgiveness and when you just need to say, I'm sorry. It's the level. We have things in our lives, in our lives, that we just have to say, I'm sorry for, or do small adjustments. I know a couple who had problems in their relationship over toothpaste. The way they squoze the toothpaste. What they did. Did they find a solution? Yeah. Each person got their own tube of toothpaste.
Squeeze it out of one.
It worked. And so those are common everyday things, but what I'm talking about is big things that have happened in people's lives. So it just means saying I'm sorry. So when do we need to forgive? Well, one of the things the book says is that how different would life have been if this guy in Pennsylvania who killed the 5 girls had talked about it, had confessed, and dealt with it before it ever happened. He left a note saying that when he was younger, he had molested some of the younger kids. And that was part of the build-up to what took place. Could that have been avoided? Yeah. Often, the things that take place happen because people don't talk about it and what they're doing and then what happened to them. And every barrier we build leads to deeper and deeper isolation. We build those walls. And sometimes I know I'm sometimes a very good wall builder. I know how to do it. Okay. So if we fail to apologize, then we're building a building. And every barrier leads to more isolation, like I said. Forgiveness is critical. And for our own healing as well as for the healing of the other person. When we do this, relationships are restored. So what do we do when a person cannot or refuses to reconcile?
Be okay with it.
What?
Be okay with it.
Be okay with it?
You can't make them.
No, you can't make them. You can't make them.
You can't let it stop you from moving on.
Right. And it's a choice. Now, in October the 2nd, 3rd of 1973, a 28-year-old man, Solly Man, was driving home from work at Holy Cross Hospital, listened to the radio when the news came on, and he heard the 36-year-old man in Ogden had shot his wife and then committed suicide. And that Ruby Bradshaw was in critical condition at St. Benedict's Hospital in Ogden. What did that radio announcement tell us? One, my brother Dwayne is dead. Ruby Bradshaw, my sister-in-law, is the only Ruby Bradshaw in Ogden. So my sister-in-law is in critical condition in the hospital. And so it's like, wow. Well, since then I've talked to Ruby May, my sister-in-law. She survived. She shot her in the eye, blinded her when I lost her eye. But I talked to her, and she never hated me. She never had bitterness against him. She forgave him. A week before the incident, he'd been told that he only had 2 weeks to live. He left the house, told her to get divorced. A week later, she's driving to work. He pulls up beside her, starts shooting at her. She's driving down the street, runs her off the road, pulls her out of the car. She gets out of the car and runs. He catches her, and he says, "If I have to go, you're going with me." And shoots her in the face. And she says, I've never hated him, never been mad at him. She forgave him from the get-go. She can't reconcile, he's dead. My brother Jay, his daughter's boyfriend, committed suicide. And she was angry and hurt. He had her write a letter to him. And at the end, she forgave him for killing himself. And they went up to the cemetery. He took a round file with him and he poked it in the ground, made it some round hole. They rolled it up, they put the letter down in the hole and put some dirt on top of it. She forgave him. He can't respond now because he's dead. But she forgave him. She got through it and what they were doing and going that way. Okay? Joyce Myers. How many of you know who Joyce Myers is? She's an evangelist. She tells them that as she was growing up, her father raped her 200 times at least. And as she got older, it affected her because she got married just to get out of the house. Dumb reason. Didn't last. She ended up marrying to somebody who was stable and loving and comparing. But she confronted the father, and the father just denied everything for years and years and years until right in the end. She went up to him one time and she said, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of anything more. I forgive you for what you did. Broke down the dam eventually, and they got reconciled to each other. It can happen. What happens if it doesn't take place? Well, several years ago, Vince was living downstairs in the apartment. He had a roommate. And I came over here and he says, you gotta go help me find so-and-so. They're off the deep end. So he went one way and I went the other way. I'm the one that found him. When I found him, he came up and he's standing this close to me, screaming in my face about what happened to him, what this person had done to him. The spits hit in my face from him yelling. And I stood there and listened. He finally calmed down a little bit, and I said, I'm really sorry. I said, you know, when did this happen? 15 years ago. And he's still that angry. Do you think you could stay that angry that long?
If I tried.
We would, huh?
If I tried. Maybe.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work to be angry that long. And so, it's like, wow, you know. It's there. And you can't get rid of it. And it built that wall and that barrier. But to stay that angry, you've got to work at it. You've got to work at not forgiving. So what habits should we have? Well, what actually Ruby May did with Dwayne. They let it go. Not to be confused with forgiveness, because they gave forgiveness. But in the forgiveness, they also let go of what happened. Because if you don't, then you build it up like that person did. And you get there and what's gone. Two, you confess. What was my part in this? Did I have a part in it? Did I do something that triggered it? Was I responsible for what it was there? And, you know, like I say, anger was meant to be, we're designed to be angry. If not, we would just be like, oh, I cut your arm off, or whatever. And we'd be like little zombies. So we were designed to be angry. But anger was just meant to be a visitor, not a permanent resident. Anger helps us move towards beginning the process of forgiveness, because we start dealing with the situation and dealing with it in a way that's good, okay? And we return good for bad. Victoria returned good for bad. She got hit with a turkey, but she spent her life being forgiven and teaching people how to be forgiven. But when love is a way of life, and this is what we're studying, the standard's higher. The standard's higher. A friend of mine was molested by her father and her brother growing up. And when an adult, she confronted him, denial, all the way. And she built up an anger and a hatred for her father. And then, as time went on, her father was diagnosed with a terminal illness. She worked in the hospital, she got her nursing degree, and then she ended up having to take care of her father, which included the bathing and every part of him. It was hard. But as she went through that process of taking care of him, the barriers started coming down. And things got dealt with. And he apologized. And they became very close just before he died. The woman who slapped her son's killer became close. The lady in the video, the guy who killed her son, lived right next door on her request. Forgiveness is a process. But it's one we can't ignore in what we're doing. And it has a competitor, fear. Satan tries to put fear in our lives about what's not going to change, what's going to happen, what's it going to involve. And we're not, you know, but we learn to not wallow in our what's going on. We're there. And the other thing we need to look at is we need to forgive ourselves. A lot of times people do things and they don't look at it and realize it. They don't forgive themselves. If I would have just never done that. But you did. You did. And it can be a really bad situation. The son of Sam, back in Chicago, killed people, 13 people, because a dog told him to. He was on drugs and all kinds of stuff. He was a Jewish kid. He was killing women with blonde hair in a certain area. And a lot of times they were with their date. And so as a sidebar, he killed the date too. Went to prison for life. And a pastor one day got a call saying that David Berkowitz wants to talk to you. That was his real name. But his killer name was Son of Sam. And he thought, oh, he probably wants me to try and help him get out. And they got down there and he says, no. I don't want you to help me get out. I'm where I belong. And he told how a little Hispanic guy had walked around with him in the yard saying, God loves you, and so do I. Probably all, most of the English that he knew. God loves you, and so do I. He became a Christian. He wanted help with ministry in the prison. He said, this is my ministry. He helped set up services. He helped take down services. He even got to the point where he was delivering the messages. He said, I'm where I belong. I don't want out. I can do more here than I can out there. Did he forgive himself? Oh, yes. And we need to express regret and forgive ourselves. We need to have that attitude. And the other thing that forgiveness does, getting angry is not going to correct the past. He yelled in my face. for a long time. And I just stood there while it did. But it didn't change anything. And there's a story of Michael Watson and Chris Eubank. They were boxers. They were having a boxing match in London. And Chris just pounded the crap out of the Watson guy. And in the 12th round, he finally gave him a blow to the head and knocked him unconscious and left him in a coma for a month. And when he woke up, he didn't know where he was, and he had a paralysis. He had physical damage, brain damage. He went through physical therapy, got better. He ran the London Marathon. And he finished 6 days later. You're not allowed to run that long, usually. But he ran, and 6 days later, he finished, and that last section of the mile, Chris, the guy who pounded him, ran with him for support. I couldn't run from here across the road. But that's what he did. And in these people's lives, if you go online and you look up forgiveness, and like I had seen the article about the Iraqi woman and years earlier, and so I was looking for that, and I found several different ones, and this one was the woman we started with, is the one that it caught me, because I couldn't find where you saw her do it. You saw pictures, and it's like, pictures worth 1,000 words, but video's worth a ton. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking for that when I found this. But going through stuff, forgiveness. Right? And I still like what Martin Luther King said, Jr. said. Forgiveness is not an occasional act, it's a permanent attitude. Have we developed that permanent attitude of forgiveness? Does it slip at times? Yeah, there's still times when I get angry. There's times when Scott gets angry and he yells at me. Not me personally, but he's yelling at me, telling me what happened. And I've learned that he just needs me to listen. He needs me to be that ear. And something happened a while back, and he wrote a thing to one of his friends about it. And he goes, I haven't talked to Dee because he doesn't take things like that personal. I've learned not to. Again, because it's a waste of time and energy. And it builds barriers. And you know what? If something happened between us, one of us, me and one of us, I don't want the barrier. I don't want the barrier. Even with people that I may not want a deep relationship with, because I've got to know them. Like Patrick. Guy in New York. Now, do I hate him? No. Would I like to know where he is now? Yeah, I would. I would like to know where he is and how he is. And I hope the best for him. I hope the best for him. But God gives us a challenge to forgive in the scriptures we read. Forgive those who forgive you, as I have forgiven them. That's a big challenge. Forgive as I have. I don't think I can do it, Lord. But it's not about works. It's about God's grace and God's forgiveness. Your forgiveness is very important. And God is awesome. Because before this, I was downstairs and I thought, I can't remember what I read last night. How am I going to talk about it this morning? God's fault. Would you pray with me? Loving Father, you are just awesome. You created us to love us. You gave us a great place to live. We got to walk with you and share experiences. Lord, I don't know if we set around the campfire and roasted marshmallows or not, but that's one of the things I picture. Compassion. And I can see you, Lord, with your arm around two of us, helping us settle the difference, helping us to make things right. Because you don't want us in agony. You don't want us filled with regret. And when we get in that time when something that happened comes flashing back to our lives, Lord, you're the first one there, patting us on the shoulder and saying, come on, let's have a chat. Let's talk about this. Let's get it over with. Lord, too many people look at you as a big, bad, judgmental person, slapping us down. We slap ourselves down, Lord. We slap ourselves down. And I pray, Lord, that as we conclude here, that we'll take a second, we'll take a minute or two before we start the song. And think about and ask, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this message? What do you want me to do with this? Is there part of it, Lord, that I'm lacking, that we're lacking, that we don't know about, we haven't thought about, or we haven't dared look at, that you want to bring to our attention so that we can correct it? Help us to do it, Lord. Because you love us. You love us. And you don't want us to go through life judgment in houses of straw and wood. But help us build our lives on something valuable and permanent, fit for your kingdom. Lord, we know that it's not going to be our works. It's going to be by relying on you. Because you're the God of love and compassion. Help us to be children of love and compassion. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.